Okay, welcome to Discovery 1 Introductory Lecture, or the Generic Introductory Lecture. Now, what we're going to talk about this morning is all of the things that need to happen for you to get up and running with us in the Academy. And we're going to go over a few things again which were written in the intro email. So if you've read the intro email or you're really up and on top of all this, you can catch 40 winks until we get up to the bits that we haven't covered yet. Okay, first of all, are you near a microphone, Geraldine, or are you still messing around over there? No, that's fine. Okay, we'll speak to Geraldine soon, but I'm Kerry. Kerry Hoth, and I'm the person who generally looks after Discovery, and Geraldine, who you'll hear from later, generally looks after IT Essentials. Okay, students are required to be subscribed to both mailing lists. We have two mailing lists. One is Cavi-Announce, and the other one is Cavi-Discuss. And there is a document that gives you the information on how to get to those up on the website. And we will be putting the URLs up for those mailing lists so that you can subscribe. All students will be bulk subscribed to those mailing lists. So if you've received a message that said you've been signed up to a couple of mailing lists, that is by design. And you will actually be... you will actually be part of those. You'll be part of those mailing lists. Has everybody been receiving the stuff that's been going out on the Announce and Discuss mailing lists of late? For example, have you been receiving a couple of messages in the last couple of days, Grace? You should have got an intro message, unless I've broken the list server.
I did. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Sorry to catch you out there.
You may not have. That might have been me. I don't know.
No. That's fine. That's all good. Okay. Can we get a remote person to talk, just so we can test the volumes and stuff? Elise is usually nice and loud.
Okay, Elise Lonsdale from Melbourne, testing 1, 2, 3, and I don't know where my microphone... Oh, there it is. Is that okay, guys? I'm about average distance away from the mic. Hello, test 1, 2.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay,
now... Good morning, everybody.
Oh, you can introduce yourself if you want, Geraldine.
I'm Kerry's better half here. That'll get a reaction. Anyway, welcome everybody. Geraldine Lane's my name, and I'm a instructor for IT Essentials. So, and welcome aboard.
And you want to up your microphone level at your earliest convenience, please, Geraldine. You're very quiet.
It's very muddy. So you're his better half in there, and I'm his better half here at home.
That's absolutely correct.
And that is Gemma, my wife, who runs around doing all sorts of useful things when she's up to it. She has completed CCNA 1 and 2 and is almost complete ITE 2.
Frustratingly close.
Missed it by that much. Okay, so you'll be signed up to the two mailing lists. We've covered all of that. If you don't know where our website is, it's www.qcat.org. And I'm not typing that into chat because it'll be absolutely no use to anybody who's not on the actual lecture to spell it out. It is actually listed up on the introduction document that is now up on the website. Thank you, Gemma. Well, there is a copy of the mail out I sent out yesterday at the top of the student resources page. I don't know whether anybody's noticed that yet.
Yeah, we have it.
Yep.
Ah, excellent. Now, Corey, did you get the temporary password I sent you?
Let me just check.
It should be an MSN. Okay. Alrighty. Now, one of the other things that you will have to do when you study with us, and don't worry, we'll be doing silence compression on these, as we usually do, is you are going to have to activate your account page. Now, what you will receive is you will receive, if my memory serves me correctly, an email containing to your email address containing two numbers. One is the username, and one is the password. So you log on to cisco.netacad.net, and if there is a www, it won't work. Actually, they may fix that, but you want to go to cisco.netacad.net, and you want to log in with the two numbers that will turn up in your email account. This is for people who are receiving new Academy accounts. Okay. Once you have signed in, then there will be a link to, and I'm just trying to remember this, there should be a link to edit or update your profile. And it's very important that you fill in all of the fields with your profile. Now, the one that gets me every time is the date of birth, and I'm going to hand over to Grace, who might be able to tell me how she managed to get through that one, because I think I did it last time about 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky.
Your date of birth doesn't generally change, Kerry.
I'd hope not, well, but I haven't signed... Go ahead.
Mine did. It's actually a day before it's actually supposed to be. I was actually born the 18th, and it says the 17th, and I don't know what happened, but I can't change it. But I can tell you how to set it the first time, so hopefully that'll do.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you've got... a link to the calendar, I think, and what you do is you click that link and you have arrows for the month and arrows for the year. And the arrow before the month and before the year will move you back, and the arrows after will move you forward. Just go really, really slowly. And make sure you get the right one. That's all you can do, because it's really strange. When you think you have the right one, hit an insert escape to refresh your page and just make double sure. And then you're going to go down and click the link on the day. It's going to take you out of that area, and you're going to be back on the regular page. Make sure the date of birth's right. It's going to be just this little read-only edit field. If it doesn't, go back to the calendar and repeat it, actually. I had it, my whole computer crash once while I was doing it, so I had to go in and try again. But my date of birth isn't quite correct anyway, so...
Okay, thank you very much for that. We've never actually, they must have made some accessibility enhancements, because we've never previously used the calendar like that before. I think we got somebody with a mouse to go click, 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 which isn't very useful. But it seems as though that is doable by us, so that's wonderful news, and we're very happy about that. Okay, now, that will get you through that bit, and you fill in the rest of the information, and it is vitally important that you... click the buttons that say that Cisco is allowed to email you. And don't worry, our local student Daniel gets to go and do all this later. He doesn't get out of it either. So once his email address is created, which he's currently doing. Now, you must have an email address on file that we can reach. We have trouble with Comcast because Comcast don't like us. We therefore recommend that any student who is on Comcast or another uncooperative ISP have an alternate email address. And we apologise for that, but we need to be able to send you stuff and tell you stuff. Your marks will come back via email. If you don't get your email, you won't get your marks, and they don't get entered into the grade book until the very, very end. So if you're the sort of student that wants to know right now how you went, that will be very unhappy for you. Okay. Our default website is www.qcat.org. You really need to know your way around this site, because we're going to send you back to it every single week, all the time, and in fact we're going to tell you to go and read stuff off there all the time. The two courses, IT Essentials. For IT Essentials, the notes are in text format. If you wish to use the Flash web pages for the curriculum for ITE1, you're welcome to. Although if you're on a Mac and using VoiceOver, you won't want to. Discovery does have some Flash in it, so I'm not sure what happened to the text dumps of the Discovery notes. I wonder who just disappeared then. But we would like...
Do you need someone to do that?
If you're going to do it for yourself, send us a copy.
Looks like and, it was just being...
Okay. I'm just getting a question from Corey here, who can't get into his account, so I'll get him to email me, and then I'll email him the stuff back. Because he's forgotten his username.
Ooh, bad.
I'm actually horrible. It's worse than bad.
Fair enough.
Okie dokies. Now, the other thing we'd like to point out is that, as you will probably know, we have 35 students in one of the Indian academies, and 25 students in another academy, and we've got 15, 20 students scattered across the world. So we're busy people. This is to say that the reason the course is so cheap is because if you can pitch in and help, we would be more than happy to take help from anywhere. For example, if somebody wants to flatten down the discovery notes into Word documents / text files, be our guest. If somebody else comes up with a resource that you think might be useful, send it to the instructors and we will make that available to you all. If anybody doesn't like any of the documentation I've written, that's fine. And if you think you can make it better, send us modified files and they will go up on the website faster than you can say thank you for your assistance. We basically have no funding, so we have enough to run this year, and we have enough to run the Indian Academies this year, and that is about it. We don't see your money that you give to the Association for the Blind. That is actually part of the Industry Skills Centre, and we never see a cent of it. So, if you feel like making a donation, and we don't expect many of you will be able to, but if you do make a donation, please donate to Cavi on the QCAT website, and your donation will be gratefully received, and we'll use it to buy new hard disks and stuff. We promise we won't go down to the pub. If you can't donate, that's okay. We understand there are a lot of blind people in significant financial hardship. Press play on Violin Story. Okay, moving right along. Your study notes will be available on the QCAT website. The ITE notes are in text files. Go download them. Start reading. We will expect you to have pre-read the chapter before I give the lecture. So here's a heads up. Lecture 1 on discovery is next week. You'd better have read Lecture 1 before next week. If you don't, doesn't really bother me, but it's certainly going to start bothering you by the time we get to lecture 3, 4, 5 or 6. I'm sure Elise and any of the students from last year will certainly put their hands up and state that you really have to keep on top of the labs and worksheets and lectures, otherwise if you fall behind, it will be a very stressful time for you.
And it makes lectures far less useful and interesting if you don't actually know what's in the notes. If you know what's in the notes, it gives you more to think about, and you think of more questions to ask, and you have more to contribute. Whereas if Kerry's sitting there going, "Has anyone got any more questions?" and there's this sort of deafening silence, and it sort of cheapens the experience a bit.
And in fact, this is going to be vitally important, especially for our Indian students, because we're actually going to be running we're going to be running a lecture session in the morning, which is to catch up with most of the international students, so Zero Universal. That's so Corey and Grace and stuff don't have to stay up too late. We'll be running the lecture so that it'll suit you guys, and possibly the UK people can stay up a bit late. And then we'll be running a question and answer session later in the day, which will probably be about midday Perth time, so we're looking at 3 Universal. Now, if you're still up for that, you're welcome to come along to it. If you're not, it's okay. However, we will accept questions in the lectures, and we will accept questions in the question and answer session that we're going to run for the Indian students to catch up with their time zone, because they're 5.5 hours ahead of Universal, which means that they don't actually start getting moving until 11 or 12 o'clock our time. And we find that we're a lot fresher and we give better lectures in the morning.
So that'd be about 11 my time, right?
Yeah. As I said, if you're awake and you decide you're on for it, you're welcome to turn up. If you're not, that's cool, because Corey was working last year and he used to go to sleep because it was just too late for him when we used to run the lectures, and that's fine.
It may almost be easier for me to come in at 11, so yeah.
We'll see what happens. I mean, we've set the lecture times by consensus at the moment, and they are subject to change. We can actually run them at a different time, but it just depends on what suits the majority of people. We'll see what happens. And we'll open it for discussion on the mailing lists, which raises an interesting question. If you're not at lectures, how are you going to get your questions answered? Well, that's what the mailing lists are for. And in fact, you can post to the discuss mailing list. The announce mailing list is moderated. So don't let Outlook Express complete the first one and then post to it, because I'm just going to delete your message and send it into the black hole. And that's a very nasty thing to get to. If you go Cavi and hit send, it's going to go to Cavi Announce if it's in your address book. You don't want that. So it's very important that you send to Cavi Discuss if you're posting a question, because I'm going to be pretty brutal with my deletes of moderated messages in the pending moderator queue this year for Announce. If they are important, I will actually go through and look at them, and I will forward them to the Discuss list if I can, but we don't want hundreds and hundreds of those turning up in the moderation queue, or I'll be there for quite some time. Lectures run from 9 till 11. In theory, although today we're having a pretty interesting day because we're getting everything setting up and adding lots of people into new classes. There will be an MP3 file of all of the lectures put up on the website after the lecture has finished. Sometime after the lecture has finished. I'm not promising anybody anything. I will get to it as soon as I can. However, laming things does take significant time, 30 to 45 minutes for a 2-hour WAV file, so we want to be doing those as soon as possible. So usually I start the lame process off after I've done the audio editing, and I go to morning tea and come back and upload it to the site. Has anybody downloaded any of the MP3s and listened to them? Have you managed to get any to play for you, Grace, or you haven't tried yet?
I was gonna, and I was in the middle of downloading one, but then I got doing something else, so no.
That's all right. We highly recommend Winamp. It is, of course, up to you. If you can manage to get FUBA 2000 or one of the other media players like Sonic to behave with your accessibility technology, good for you. But we strongly recommend Winamp. Okay,
Sonic
the instructors...
is still around?
I don't think they're developing a lot of it.
Yeah, I thought that was ancient.
If you insist on playing MP3 files in Real Player, we will question your sanity, but that's okay too. I don't know whether anybody's noticed how when you install Real Player, it sort of essentially takes over every media type on your computer.
Yep.
And then takes over your computer.
iTunes will do that too.
So if you want to... is a good alternative.
Yes. If you're going to use iTunes, if you're using a Mac, it's pretty happy.
You can never get it off.
Real alternative or iTunes?
I'm an iTunes kid.
I think I got it off, but there was about 6 different things I had to uninstall. It was ridiculous. There isn't a unified uninstaller for the whole lot.
Okay. And all students are expected to check their email regularly. This means every few days. We are going to send out important information via email, and if you're one of these people that checks your email once every 2 weeks, you are going to be very disadvantaged, because you're going to miss things like exams are active for a week. And I'll talk about the exam activation procedure in a minute. Instructors are available on Skype. My Skype ID is Kerry Hoth, which is KerryHoath, and you can add that, and I will be on that ID when I'm at work. If you have my... If you have my home address, I know who you are, and you'll have a good idea as to when this is a good time to call or not. I don't generally hand out my home ID to students because it's quite disruptive to be Skype called all night, funnily enough. And Geraldine's Skype ID for work is...
Geraldine, that's spelled G-E-R-A-L-D-I-N-E _ Topaz. T-O-P-A-Z.
And I will be sending those IDs to the announce list after we've finished lecture, along with the website URL and that sort of thing. And it is strongly recommended that students add both of those IDs into their Skype. So Kerry Hoth and Geraldine _Topaz. Geraldine is most likely able to activate your exams and things for IT Essentials, and I am most likely able to activate your exams for Discovery. However, unless you are on an extremely tight time schedule, we would really prefer that you email your exam activation requests and preferably give us some future notice as to when you'd like the exam activated. Emailing us at 3 o'clock in the morning our time and saying, I want the ITE 1 Chapter 6 exam up now, is not going to get it done for you unless Geraldine is having a bad night's sleep.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. The more notice you can give us, because we can pre-activate them up to, you know, a few days or whatever ahead. So if you let us know, we're happy to oblige us, you know, so you don't have any delays.
The exams are found on cisco.netacad.net. Most of the students that have studied with us last year have been through and done these. They're multiple choice, or as some people feel, multiple guess exams. There are also diagram descriptions on www.qcat.org. Find the diagram description before you start the exam. I cannot emphasise that enough. Open the diagram description file before you even start the exam. Then open another window and start the exam. Okay. We have had some students that are quite fast at working and have managed to open their diagram descriptions after they've started the exam, but you do have a finite time to do the exam. It's 2 hours per module exam. Infuriating people like Gemma and myself get them done in about 11 minutes flat. That's not to say that everybody will do that. There is a lot of work in the module exams, and you do have to look at the diagram descriptions and stuff to be able to complete the questions. Now, there is a warning here. The exam questions are in random order. Therefore, you do have to find the diagram description that matches the question in the exam. We're really sorry about this, but that's the way it has to be because the exam questions are in random order. No, we cannot put the diagram descriptions in the order of the questions that are on the exam. Yes, we are working on ways of getting the diagram descriptions into the exams, but it won't happen this year. Any questions on anything I've said so far? I'm actually thinking, because we've got a bigger class group, we might start up a new etiquette thing. If you have a question and you want to open your chat window, and I've noticed just as a matter of interest that Grace doesn't have her chat window open, so you want to tab to the chat button and hit spacebar at some point, and that will end up with a C next to your name, so it'll say C Grace instead of Grace. I'm just picking on you because you're the only one who I saw that didn't have their chat window open. I'm sure there are others. If you have a question in a future lecture, perhaps you would like to type your name into the chat window, and I will be able to either stop where I'm up to or get to you at the end of the sentence or paragraph or whatever, and we can answer your question.
There is a text-to-speech option there too, so you can actually hear what's going into the chat window. Need to check that.
There we go. And Grace has joined the chat, so there you go. And we don't give you extra marks for doing that, sadly, but we're very happy that that has managed to occur. I should also warn you that Geraldine is sometimes liable to sing. If you can't handle that, then you're just going to have to take your headphones off for a few seconds and put them on again.
Who? Moi? Excellent. That's what I like to hear.
Okay, so now, when you wish to do exams, they need to be activated, and we need to activate them as instructors. I do the discovery ones, Geraldine does the ITE ones. We can activate the module exams for a week. So if somebody asks us to activate them all, we usually activate all of the exams for a week. Now, what you need to tell us is your... who you are, obviously, which should be in your email address, and which academy you are with. Are you studying with Enable? Are you studying with Bangalore? Are you Sri Lanka? Or are you the International Academy, which is the one we've got most of the people on for at the moment, so that we know which class groups to activate the exams in? Once the exams are activated for a week, you have a week to do the exam, and you will go in and you will open your diagram descriptions first. And then you will open your exam and you will sit down and you will do the module exams. There are module exams for each chapter, there are worksheets for each chapter, and there are labs for each chapter, and all of these things need to be completed before we consider that you are finished on that module. Now that we have a new policy, if you do not complete a set of labs or worksheets within 2 weeks of a module being delivered without explaining yourself, we will be tempted to reduce marks.
No, that's good, isn't it? Well, because we get things right at the end of semester and 100 million emails marking to do, you know, so yeah, it's good. It's a good policy.
Yeah, fair enough.
If won't you... affect you, Elise. You're always first.
I know. I'm always getting them in early.
However, look, the reality is that a lot of people did put them in last, and I got things up until the 18th of December or whatever on CCNA1, and I got submitted all of these labs at the last minute, which meant they couldn't have got their corrections emailed back to them, and they couldn't have redone the labs, so that was the marks they got. Also, it's worth mentioning that if we actually insist on you doing them within 2 weeks of a module, you're less likely to procrastinate. If you're going to have to put the time aside to do the labs and worksheets, we'd prefer you to put them aside around about the times we do the lectures, because the information will be fresh in your head. That will benefit you as well as a student. If, however, you have a deceased pet, family crisis, the roof of your house blows off, the global credit crunch makes its way down into your driveway, you can send an explain email and we will give you more time, or we will give you extenuating circumstances. If there are genuine reasons why you haven't done it, apart from I've just been too lazy and the football was really too engrossing, then we would like to hear those, and we'll certainly take those into consideration. We are just trying to keep as many students on track as what we can. We actually managed to have a whole lot of students make their way through the entire course and do all of the module exams and then go, what? Are there labs and worksheets? And we'd like to avoid that situation this year, because although we mention the labs and worksheets every single lecture, people still manage to forget they exist.
Funny that, isn't it?
Sort of a bit like my friend's cat that would go and crawl down to the end of the bed and hide under the covers because it believed that if it couldn't see you, you couldn't see it. That doesn't work when you're studying Cisco. Ignoring the problem will make it go away, but you won't get a certificate. So please keep that in mind. If you have questions related to the worksheets or the labs, you can email them to the instructor's email address, which will be up on the introduction to students email that's up on the website. And we will do our best to answer your question. If your question is relevant to more than just yourself, the answer will be posted to the list. So please don't swear in your messages to the instructors, because it just might make it onto the list. And we wouldn't want that to happen. Okay, this goes without saying, but we say it anyway. All students are expected to be, where possible, to be nice to all other students where possible. If you don't like someone, don't talk to them. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. We would like a happy studying environment, and we are aware that sometimes people do clash as far as their outlooks and their ideals are concerned. You guys can sort that out outside of class. This is a cooperative learning environment, and we would like you all to learn from each other as much as possible.
And basically, any breach of that's just not going to be tolerated, is it?
No, we actually have threatened a couple of students in the past with expulsion from the course, and if they had persisted in their behaviour, we would have been quite happy to take them off the academy. So that's just an unfortunate side effect, but we do have to say that. We are aware that as a group of people who have a shared disability and stuff, we are likely to be passionate, perhaps too passionate, some people would argue, and certainly friction and stuff will show up. We have to manage that as maturely as we can, and try not to get into too many arguments. It is highly advisable to keep arguments off lecture, because they are recorded, and you probably don't want your argument up on the website for everybody to listen to. It probably wouldn't be one of your finest moments.
And same goes for the mailing lists too, because they are archived on the internet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes, by default, all posts to the mailing lists are archived. If you're clever enough to know how to turn that off and to know which header you need to add in to stop that from happening, good for you. But most users aren't, so your messages are archived and they tend to be Googleable. I am sort of looking at ways of stopping that from happening, actually, because I'm not too happy about that. Okay. ITE will be on Friday, same bat time, same bat channel, so to speak, although what will actually happen is you'll be moving down into the lecture theatre. If you are somebody who uses a Mac, my condolences, we will move you into the lecture theatre. You can't do it with VoiceOver. Samuel, what course have you completed? You completed... Right. You need to go and sign up. Now, this is a message to all of the students. Now, you will have access to the curriculum off our website while it exists, but once you have completed a course with Cisco, you need to sign up to the alumni. And there's a link on your student homepage that says sign up to the alumni. If you sign up to the alumni, it will allow you to access any of the curricula you have studied in the past, and it will allow you to continue to access that academy information once you leave the academy. Surprisingly enough, the Cisco curricula can be a very useful reference resource, especially when you are in an employment situation. Okay, I'm just trying to think what else I need to cover. No question is a stupid question. Although we will tend to tend you, if a question is something that we're not going to cover, we are going to send you off to research it. That will involve using Google or a search engine of your choice, for example, Dogpile, if you're into that sort of thing. I hope Dogpile is still a search engine. It's a search engine of search engines. It's what we call a meta search engine. Excellent. I wasn't sure whether Dogpile still existed. I thought maybe somebody else had re-registered the domain for something that we didn't want to go and visit.
Oh, dear.
Well, it is an unfortunate name.
Yeah, if you ever Google Dogpile, you'll get some interesting stuff.
Okay, so we don't suggest that you Google Dogpile. We actually had our esteemed fearless leader once. There is a term...
A.K.A. Mr. Murray.
Who's not here at the moment, Ian Murray. There is a term in Cisco IOS called packets with dribble condition, and he made the mistake of Googling dribble condition. Luckily, if you do that now, you will actually get an article on Cisco that explains to you what dribble condition is. Regrettably, when he Googled it, some of the articles that came up weren't ones that he personally wanted to view.
I guess that depends.
That's awesome.
Okay. Now, does anybody have any questions at this stage?
Are you going to talk about the assessment system now?
I don't know how much of that to cover, because by the time they've actually turned themselves inside out with the Edit Your Profile page, it's going to be a while until they get onto the TAKE assessment system.
True.
Basically, once you log into your account on cisco.netacad.net, I'll do a brief overview of this, but you'll all have to go back and chase this up later on. Once you log into your cisco.netacad.net, you should be at Student Home. You need to find the table that contains the class that you would like. If there's a table of classes, you can jump to the first table if you're using JAWS by pressing T. Hang on. Yes, the assessment system of death. And you press T to jump to the table, and you can then find the classes that you're in. I am not a WindowEyes user, so I'm not sure whether there's a funky key that makes you jump to tables in WindowEyes. There probably is in 7.01. Ah, jolly good. Okay. Once you find the class that you are in, you hit enter on the class that you want, which will be something like EN_D02 blah blah. Anyway, it'll make sense to you when you see it. Once you have the class homepage up, you want the TAKE assessment link. Once you hit the TAKE assessment link, it will open a new window. If, however, your Internet Explorer goes bloop, then you need to possibly always allow sites pop-ups from cisco.netacad.net, or you'll have a very unhappy time. If your Internet Explorer goes ba-dunk, please uninstall Yahoo toolbar or turn off its pop-up blocker. Cisco websites use Flash. You must have Macromedia Flash. Oh, it's actually Adobe Flash now, but I think you can still go to www.macromedia.com. Please have Flash installed or all sorts of things will not work for you. I cannot stress that point enough. Also, you must have JavaScript enabled, and you must have Flash enabled. We had a case where a student had JavaScript disabled because apparently some of the websites he was visiting on his computers would open lots of pop-up windows. Those of us who've been on the internet for a while will understand exactly what sort of site they are, and we won't go any further into that. He was actually told that he needed to re-enable JavaScript and clean his computer up from all of the spyware and malware that it was probably infected to as a result of visiting aforementioned sites. You are responsible for the maintenance and safety of your own computer. Please back up your work. If the dog eats your homework, you should have a backup copy. If your computer crashes, you should have a backup copy. Backups are your responsibility. It is not our responsibility to hang on to any work that you have submitted. In theory, and we don't do it very often, we should be able to ask you to resubmit the labs and worksheets from a chapter that you have completed. This should not cause you any grief. Please back up your work, otherwise you will have to do it again, and that will make you very sad. I realise a lot of this sounds as though it's all pretty much common sense and everybody's sitting back there in Ventrilo land going, well, this is all pretty obvious, why is he going on about this? But we have actually had students who have requested that we should have copies of all of their work, and we should be able to send them back all of their work. Well, sometimes that's the case, not all the time. And we usually just put the marks into the gradebook and get on with our lives. So just be warned, please keep your work backed up.
Much like if you're doing any course that's not at school, you'd always be expected to have a backup of your work, and it's not your lecturer's responsibility. Although we all care, all responsibility is yours. We try our best, though.
Okay, now as part of IT2 and as part of IT2 you will be using virtual machines, and if you are keen and stuff and you are allowed to get the tutorials and stuff off the virtual machines area and set up the virtual machines for ITE1, then do the ITE1 labs on a virtual machine if you so choose. So it's up to you whether you set that up. There are tutorials and resources on the website that will help you with that, or you can ask your friendly instructor. I'm assuming we're having a good day. Okay, so once you get into the TAKE assessment system, back to the assessments, it will show you a list of exams that you are able to take once you've hit the TAKE assessment link off your class homepage. If there aren't any assessments showing up, you need to email us and ask us to activate the exams for you. Once you select the assessment you wish to take, it will open another window on a different website and it will actually allow you to take the exam. Once you hit the Begin Exam button, the timer is ticking. When you run out of time, you run out of time. We can get you to redo exams. I think you get up to two attempts at a module exam. In extenuating circumstances, we can organise more attempts, but you probably don't want to be doing an exam more than twice if you can help it. Answers will be available to the exam after you have completed the exam, and you can email us and we will give you a URL where you can download and listen to the answers to the exam and figure out what you got right and wrong. That's if you don't enjoy the exam feedback that Cisco sends you. Can. Has anybody got any questions so far or any suggestions of other things that we should possibly cover?
I have a really good tip for the exam thing.
Yep.
Okay, so don't be like me and just use the links on the page when you want to end the exam. Actually use the combo box, because you can't access it via the links, I don't believe, and it's only in that combo box that you can find the submit exam button.
Now regarding, yes, that's an excellent point, Grace, and I do remember covering that with you, but yes, you've got to drop the combo box down. Now if you don't know how to drop a combo box down in JAWS, it's enter to access, enter forms mode, unless you're lucky enough to be running JAWS 10 and it'll go, and then you can actually select what you want and it'll go, and then you'll be out of forms mode again. But if you have decided to turn that off because it drives you mental or you're running a JAWS under version 10, hit enter, hit alt down arrow, and then pick what you want from the combo box and then press enter again to activate the combo box. Now, as far as you not receiving any exam feedback, Samuel, you've got to make sure that your email address is valid on your profile and that you are receiving email from Cisco, and you need to make sure that a spam filter or one of your address filters is not blocking incoming email from Cisco, because you will never receive an see if you can get the exam feedbacks to work as well. They should turn up in your email address. If not, you need to check your spam filters. Interesting. We'll try and look into that. Obviously, our answers are far better than Cisco's exam feedback, so we'll just probably give you our answer recordings because we're just so great. And modest, too.
Extremely.
Oh, no. You actually have to, when you actually grade the exam, there's a link that you actually click to send the exam feedback to yourself if you want it. Once it's given you the raw score and the binary score, you can actually send the exam feedback. Yeah, the exam feedback doesn't happen yeah, that's okay. We can help you with the blind bit. We can't help you with the other one. Okay. There is a send exam feedback. Exam feedback will not automatically be sent to you. You must manually select it to be sent to you. So maybe yours isn't working, Samuel, but did you actually click on the link to send the exam feedback and feed in your email address, or did you just expect it to turn up automatically? And we'll wait for Samuel to type his answer in there. Okay. I think that's about all we need to cover. I mean, obviously, there are going to be other questions that come up. There are going to be other questions that students are going to have. But essentially, what we'd like to do is get this recording up on the website so that the Indian students and stuff can download it, and also deal with any other problems that arise. Now, does anybody have any questions that spring to mind before we wind up the introductory lecture?
Well, I have my discovery stuff by the time that we need to go to the first lecture then.
You can already access the discovery curriculum off the QCAT website, so you will be able to pre-read Chapter 1. I will make sure that Ian adds you into the class when he comes back from the library meeting.
Also, I had a question for you, Kerry. Are the labs
available
on QCAT? What available on QCAT, sorry?
The labs and worksheets, are they available at QCAT, or do we have to go to the Academy to get those?
The labs are available from the QCAT website, definitely for ITE1, and we've been nice to you. We've converted them all into Word documents. I also need to check on whether the Discovery ones have been converted. No, in what respect? Did you actually click the send exam feedback link? I'm assuming that's a no. And if we're following each other, I should get a yes back in response to that. Okay, so we need to check whether the discovery ones have been... Okay, no problem. Now, the discovery stuff and sorry, Gemma?
I'm looking at the QCAT website now, and the only thing in the discovery one directory is... audio and diagram descriptions.
Okay, so we'll look at somehow converting out the lab manuals and stuff. In the QCAT section, discovery notes is not available. I didn't think that was the case. I thought they were in the list of links. Can you take a look at that, Gemma, or do you want me to jump out and have a look? I know what you're talking about, Samuel. It's being looked into.
Okay, the Discovery Curriculums link takes you to a launch page with all four Discovery Curriculums listed there, and yes, I do need to put numbers next to them. Thank you, Elise, who raised that last year, and I haven't done it yet.
Got that far yet.
Cisco doesn't actually want us using the numbers, which is why they're not there, but we will put them in.
Well, we seem to be using them anyway, so we might as well.
So when you click on one of those links for the Discovery curriculum, does it actually pull up the Discovery 1 curriculum? I was pretty sure that it did.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know what you're doing, Samuel. This is on www.qcat.org, not Netacad.
Oh, and the first time you launch the curriculum, you activate the Use Accessible Theme link, which is right at the top, and then there's this launcher thing. Once you hit the Launch Course button... it's actually loading all of the objects in using Flash, and therefore there isn't any progress bars within your web browser, and there won't be any sort of click clunk to say that it's finished if you've got those sorts of sounds turned on. So the first time you launch the course, or the first time you launch a particular chapter or whatever, be patient, because it's loading.
And usually it will come out of temporary internet files once it's come down once, which will make it come down a lot faster. The username for the curriculums is Cavi, C-A-V-I, and the password is Cavi, C-A-V-I. So that will let anybody who needs to get into the Discovery curriculums get in as soon as they need to. If you do not have Flash installed, if your JAWS is not at least 7.1 or you don't have a recent version of WindowEyes, it's not going to work for you.
It was working as early as WindowEyes 5.5.
Ah, thank you, Corey. That's good to know. I have no idea whether it works with NVDA. We might be masochistic enough to try later today.
Yeah, it seems to be more in the Discovery 2 directory than there is a Discovery 1. Probably because you concentrated on that in the second half of last year.
Yeah, well, Discovery courses only came out mid sort of last year, so we didn't actually run Discovery 1 first semester.
Yeah, so I can see why that's happened.
Well, we might convert the lab manuals out into text format, perhaps. If any of the students want to get busy doing that as they go through the labs and convert them out as they go.
A few of us have got Nuance.
Yeah, there is a Nuance PDF converter, which is much faster than Quercifile at doing it. It's incredibly good.
So is there a lab manual up on Netacad?
Which one is this now?
Discovery 1.
Nuance PDF converter.
Nuance PDF... What's it called, Gemma? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's just called Nuance PDF converter.
That's right, yeah. It's excellent.
Talk to me off chat about it, Grace. Nudge, nudge. I'll sort something.
It's great because it preserves all the formatting as well, so it still makes sense when you're reading through it. And like the Word document that it comes out with looks exactly the same as the PDF, so you could hand that back to someone and it's still restored. Yeah, exactly. You end up with all the markup too.
I was going to say, you can even mark them up for Daisy if you're so inclined, which I might even try during the year and see what happens.
And Grace has disappeared, so that's okay. All right. We'll start converting those resources out and we'll start populating those folders as soon as we can. However, there's plenty of work for you all to go on with ITE1, so don't let that stop you. And you can still read all the notes and stuff. We'll start working on converting the labs out for Discovery 1. Okay, I think that's all we have today. Is anything else anybody else wants to add? Apart from welcome to 2009?
Yeah, I was just going to say... the same thing, Kerry, that we look forward to working through this year with you. And, it's hard curriculum, lots of work in it, but hopefully you'll have an enjoyable time. Enjoy the journey.
Okay, I'm going to stop recording.